your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Alchemy. Joining me today, my good friend, Doug Gordon, Executive Vice President and Head of LeafLink Financial. Doug, great to have you on the show and jam today.
Definitely, Jeff. I really appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to this. Always look forward to our chats. You know, for everybody that's tuning in right now, LeafLink is a wholesale cannabis marketplace that streamlines the ordering process and makes it super easy for dispensaries to order products from the various brands that serve them. So, Doug, starting off the show, let's dig in a little bit about you. Before joining LeafLink, you co-founded Fundation, which is a leading small business digital lender that really provides businesses, small businesses, et cetera, with loans and lines of credit through partnerships with banks and online platforms. I'm just curious, like, what was it that gave you the insight to jump into the cannabis world from that world?
Yeah, Jeff, it's a really good question. And to be completely honest, I never thought that my career would take me into cannabis, but I couldn't be happier that it has. So when I was at Fundation, we did a ton of work with businesses, obviously, and one of our partnership verticals was working with B2B companies. We worked with, very, very large businesses selling to other businesses, and also worked with a number of, digital platforms, whether it was B2B marketplaces or AR systems that automated the way that businesses manage receivables. But I had actually known Ryan Smith, one of the co-founders of LeafLink, for many years prior to joining LeafLink. And when him and Zach were starting out with LeafLink, we had a drink at a bar in Union Square, and they pitched me on the idea. And I think it was probably the first time I'd ever considered or ever even considered the cannabis market to be a legitimate industry. This is probably late 2015, early 2016. And when they pitched me on the marketplace idea, I thought it was super smart. And I think my classic line was, when it gets to $50 million of GMV, meaning, $50 million of orders going through the platform, then it would be really interesting to figure out how you can, introduce a fintech element to automate a lot of the pain points I saw in the B2B world. To Ryan's credit, I had $50 million in one. I think he gave me a call and said, "Hey, Doug, I think we're ready to explore what a fintech payments offering would look like." And I started digging into the industry very, very hard and realized what an enormous opportunity the cannabis industry posed and what a challenge it posed as well. As there was really no services that were available off the shelf to be able to be utilized. And the industry was just, riddled with so many challenges that I found fascinating. But it was really a rare opportunity to, have the chance to define a way an industry runs versus disrupt and really offer a digital first experience to customers trying to manage their business more efficiently. So I found the opportunity amazing. Ryan and Zach put the full court press on me to join the company full time after, I was an advisor to the company, and I ended up making the leap in October 2018.
That's awesome. Yeah, I feel like a lot of us who come from different industries we have the same concept. Like, I would never thought a million years I'd be in cannabis, and now that we are, it's like I don't think I could be in any other industry, which is kind of interesting.
I totally agree.
It's a good time. A little bit about LeafLink, like you guys, have really been on fire, and you guys have really revolutionized the way that a lot of cannabis brands, distributors, even retailers manage their entire operations. And so what I'm fascinated about is like your marketplace today literally connects with over 5,800 retailers, 1,900 brands, and you're really streamlining cannabis commerce. So talk to us a little bit about maybe the last 12 months. You guys are obviously managing, I don't know, what was the number, 3 billion in annual orders?
Actually, 4 billion as of the end of this month.
So 4 billion, like that's incredible. So talk to us a little bit about, one, the company, but also how, retailers and brands are actually utilizing your products.
Yeah. So, as you mentioned, LeafLink is the largest platform that's streamlining wholesale cannabis. With that scale, we make it very, very easy for sellers in the cannabis industry to be able to organize the order management process. It's a very complex thing to deal with, as you're typically dealing with hundreds of retail customers, and being able to organize all of your customers in one place streamline the way that your sales team can take in orders, get orders organically through the marketplace. So the retailers are able to shop all of these brands in one cart, have it flow through with a number of SaaS-enabled tools that make it really easy to view how your business is doing, but really just save a ton of time trying to organize all that information. That's really enabled us to scale. And I think the other thing that's really been incredible is how we've navigated each individual state. As you know, cannabis is not federally legal. Therefore, every single state operates as its own independent marketplace. Mm-hmm. So being able to understand those nuances on a state-by-state basis and solve the individual challenges within each state and do so at scale has been a massive, massive win for our organization. On top of just the marketplace and order management system, we've been able to introduce other suites of tools and services, like LeafLink Financial, which really enables brands to pick and choose when they want to get paid and have retailers choose when they want to pay independent of each other, utilizing our liquidity. So we're able to purchase the invoices that are generated on the marketplace from the sellers and allow the sellers to then issue net terms to retailers so they can really centralize their payables and receivables operations. And we're actually introducing direct B2B payments to allow them to transact directly and not utilize the liquidity services if they so choose, but really just provide that optionality. And then last year, we released our logistics services, which is a suite of supply chain services that are tech-enabled that make it really easy to track orders, from creation all the way through delivery, making, the transportation very, very clear and allow retailers really, have the right expectations as to when they're going to receive product and better manage their inventory while making, the brand's life a whole lot easier, making sure that part of their business is taken care of. So all of it works together very, very seamlessly. And I think that's really allowed us to scale and really serve the pain points of customers across all these different states.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I think, it was kind of a good segue for you to really talk about, as legalization expands and scaling and keeping up with compliance. And I'm sure, you live in New York just as much as I do. And this past week, if not 2 weeks, has been, pretty incredible for us. New York is now the 15th state to legalize. And then in a matter of 24 hours, right, New Mexico, legalizes. And now there's chatter of like Connecticut and Rhode Island and, Virginia moving things up. And so, what's your take on everything? I feel like you've kind of been in the space now for, since 2018 or so. So you're kind of early on. What are your thoughts? Things are really starting to move quickly.
Yeah, well, I think, Jeff, you'd agree with this. That was always the bet. I think that the tailwinds were always in favor of legalization occurring, on a broad basis. And I think the last year, the cannabis industry showed tremendous momentum, starting with it being deemed essential businesses during the onset of COVID. So I think this was expected. The pace at which it's happening is so exciting. But the reality is the cat's out of the bag. Cannabis is here to stay. The states are moving towards more and more legitimate regulations that enable the industry to thrive. And I'm really excited to see how things continue to mature as you now have states that are tangential to each other, like New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. Probably going to have to work together in some regard to ensure that the states are having regulations that incentivize proper use and proper transport and whatnot. So I think that the recent number of states that have chosen to go rec is a great first step, but it's going to be really interesting to see how things like interstate commerce play out and eventually what the federal government chooses to do, given all the states have clearly made their voice heard that adult use program is something that people want.
It's incredible to see. I think, we've been talking about this now for a year during the onset of the pandemic, and you have all these states who are, deeming cannabis essential, yet you couldn't get a haircut. Now we kind of look back. I just had someone on the last episode, and they're like, isn't it crazy that, in 5 years from now, people will be like, what? Cannabis was illegal? Right? It's just
totally.
It's mind-blowing because it's, here's a plant that's helping so many people in their daily lives, whether it's, medical or they have attention issues or sleep or, look at the pharmaceutical market right now. Like people are popping pills left and right. That's not healthy, right? Here you have a plant that actually can help you and it's illegal in states. It's wild.
Yeah. And it's, the industry has been riddled with social injustice. And I think that the benefits of the plant are becoming clear. The people have spoken, right? I think that, there are people that are out in the open using cannabis for health and wellness, not just to get high, right? It has tremendous benefits for certain people, And it's a recreational drug for others. However, you know, the stigma that's been created, just those barriers need to continue to be broken down. And I think that every player in the industry has done a great job of telling that story. And I'm really excited with more and more states coming online, how that story continues to be shaped and make it more of a national story versus a state by state story, because the people, you know, truly want to hear it. And I think there's a lot of good to be done as a result of it. As you mentioned, popping pills ain't a solve to anything. And this plant certainly has other powers.
So from I think the last 2 weeks alone is probably enough acceleration for an entire year. But if you were to kind of look at the industry and even LeafLink for that matter and the company, if you look forward 5 years, like what do you envision?
Yeah, well, I still think that we're in the top of the first inning. It's been a very, very exciting, half a decade, and you've seen the progress that's been made. But the supply chain is still very immature. The industry is still very immature. The operations that go into making this a broad-based industry still need to come together. So I think that there's, and like I said, one of the things that I'm most excited about is how this industry can take a digital-first approach and take all the technology that's been now leveraged by other industries that continues to make headwinds to make the operations of other industries more effective, start applying to the cannabis industry at the onset, which hopefully accelerates the cannabis industry to mature at a faster rate. I think that one of the things I'm most excited about seeing is how these states start playing nice together, mm-hmm. and how your federal policy comes together, to enable this industry to thrive and not be held back by unnecessary rules and regulations, as it has tremendous benefits. But to answer your question directly, in the next 5 years, I definitely see federal legalization on the horizon. What exactly that looks like is still to be determined.
Right.
I think from our standpoint, we want to focus on ensuring we are keeping the same pace at which the industry is maturing. And our customers are maturing at a very fast pace, which means we have to be ahead of that to provide the types of services they're going to need. So we're very, very focused on expanding the types of supply chain services that we're able to offer to allow these businesses to thrive in their current states, get out of their current state and go to other states that we have a presence in. But I still think a lot is really dependent on what the federal government does and how these new states continue to put new policies in place. I think New York's policies were a great step forward, highly focused on social equity, allowing for more of a fragmented marketplace to thrive. So I think that there's a lot of really positive things coming out of how the new states are structuring their laws, but there's still a lot to be determined. And it's our job to stay up to date on them and making sure that our services still meet the needs of the maturing industry.
Totally. So, I was just thinking with all of the, different retailers and all the different brands that you guys work with, I'm sure you've seen, and especially the last few years, how products are starting to change, right? And I think most recently, at least from my standpoint, like you got the beverage market that's kind of taking off like a rocket ship. You've got all these cannabis companies that are starting to productize just really cool packaging and also making it easier for people to make choices on what they're looking for, whether it's, something for sleep or something for just a light buzz or whatever it might be. Anything really interesting that has stood out to you? You don't have to say a brand name or anything, but from like a packaging or even a product type, everyone's just getting very smart with how they kind of, distinguish themselves and stand out from everybody else.
Yeah, so I'm always fascinated to see how companies brand themselves and then add accessories and swag alongside their product set.
Yeah,
There's been a few things that I've seen. One's out of Arizona, Timeless. They have these flip cases.
If you walk around Arizona,
awesome. They're awesome. And they do artist collaborations and have new drops in the flip cases alongside new product drops, and they just do a fantastic job branding. Yeah. And making more of a consumer experience, which is eventually where all these brands need to go. But then I've also seen recently from Select with their Squeeze product, really it's like a Mio type product with cannabis infused to kind of control your experience. Talking about beverages, I mean, that's been a huge, huge boom the past year. So I think like the product innovation is just so fascinating to watch, but I love seeing, traditional CPG type strategies being employed in very, very creative ways for the cannabis industry, given all the rules, as you guys know, with canna regs, like what you're allowed to do. I think that the brands have been so creative and so have the retailers on providing a consumer experience under the regulations that exist. And that's going to be super exciting to continue to watch.
You could see, at least from a state-by-state perspective, the nuances are just, you know, they're enough to make a CMO cringe, you know? You want to have, like, you know, imagine that, you know, we will have that time where it's, you know, interstate commerce and there's everybody's legalized. And the way it is today, it's like, well, you can do this in California, but if you're going to market to Illinois or Florida or Michigan, you can't do that.
Exactly. I mean, no one's going to be excited about indoor grown New York weed. They're going to be more excited about Humboldt County Outdoor, exactly. Mendocino County Outdoor, and how that can be branded nationally. It's going to be great to see how that turns out.
But it is interesting. Like, I've recently just, I just tried some of the beverage products. Like, Pabst just came out with a seltzer with, you know, it's like a microdose THC. And it was actually really enjoyable, you know, because you weren't, you know, it's just like kind of a nice buzz, like if you were to have a drink or two. And I think that's, a lot of us are kind of looking for that, right? Not looking to get completely messed up.
Totally. And that's a new consumer, right? And I think that's part of the stigma that's being broken down, is that, you know, not everyone is just trying to, you know, just get high in the traditional sense that's been marketed to us throughout the DARE programs and whatnot as when we were in elementary school.
Oh my God. Yes.
This is so, like, I think the product offerings are getting more sophisticated to, you know, appeal to new types of consumers. I find it fascinating, the, you know, the older generation and their use of cannabis, and how, you know, different companies have been able to market to them on a wellness basis, and how it's being used for sleep, things you mentioned before, for sleep, for pain relief, and just overall a different type of experience that's enjoyable for a new type of consumer. Yeah. So it's been great to see, like, again, how these marketers have been able to break down these historical stigmas.
Yeah, no, I love seeing, like, all these different brands come out with different products and, you know, completely different use cases. Like, even Stanley Brothers, they came out with, you know, this whole Recreate line that's meant for, like, people like us who are working really hard. But during the day, like, they have, it's not just, you know, like a microdose, but there's also other plant-based elements in it that help you focus, right? So this is kind of cool. I mean, I love where the space is going. You know, and then obviously I think something that I've been seeing quite a bit too is this whole movement too with mushrooms, right? That's kind of the next frontier, which is, you know, it's cool that we get to see that now, and we're starting to see all sorts of clinical trials and tests happening. So there's definitely a movement. That's for sure, for certain.
Definitely. And I think what's interesting about mushrooms is you're already starting to see the capital formation to make investments.
Oh,
and I think that's been accelerated because of the success of cannabis.
Yeah,
I think it's super interesting to watch the capital markets kind of rally around this new concept.
Right. Well, I think even like psilocybin, there's so many states now who are like, hey, you know, decriminalization. And then you have Oregon, they're like, it's legal. Something going, I feel like the cannabis market has just paved the way for future things that were making it much easier. But I have found, though, I've had these conversations with a lot of executives and friends that there's something about mushrooms, you know, not like, you know, crazy doses of, like, you know, doing a trip or something, but like a micro dose level of mushrooms that people are actually okay with. They're not, there's no stigma there, which is very interesting, right? And I feel like once people get past the stigma of, like, hey, cannabis is plant-based, it's natural, right? You use it in the right ways, and it's actually very healthy for you. You know, they're starting to see this, you know, with mushrooms, it's treating people with, you know, all sorts of, you know, traumatic brain injuries and depression. And it's kind of good that we're moving away from hardcore drugs to things that naturally are growing in our environment, you know?
I completely agree. You may not know this about me, but I was actually a neuroscience major in college. So yeah. I've always been fascinated with, how little we do know about the human brain, and, you know, how the power of things that are natural, you know, have the ability to, you know, to help cure us of many different things. But, you know, it's actually one of my side passions still.
Good to know.
So this is all very much in line.
I did not know that, but now I do. Cool. Well, Doug, you know, I know you've listened to the show before. So, you know, we always talk a little bit about business in the beginning, and then we kind of end it with some just fun, quick fire questions. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay, so first question for you. So if magic was real, maybe it is, what spell would you try to learn first?
I would probably say I have to learn how to fly. I really don't like waiting for things, as I know you're very similar in that vein, Jeff.
Yes.
So not having to wait for Ubers, not having to wait for a car ride, being able to fly to where I need to go. And, you know, maybe that would be applicable to being an NBA basketball player if I had that skill as well. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think that's probably the most exciting spell that I would be probably testing out at first.
We're very similar, because that's one I would do too. And then I also, you know, not that this is about me, I'm asking you the questions, but we're probably like around the same age. What was that show where that girl, she used to like touch her fingers to freeze time? Do you remember that?
Oh, that's, I don't remember.
There was this girl, a robot, right? And she used to be able to like freeze time by putting her fingers together. Am I making this up?
No, you're not. I know exactly. I've like seen it in my head. I can't remember what it was. For some reason, Sabrina the Teenage Witch is coming to my head.
I tried doing that as a kid. I used to like, you know, put my two fingers together to stop time. You know, it never worked. That and
flying. Keep trying that.
That and flying. Okay, cool. Second question for you, Doug. What's the craziest thing you've ever done?
So the craziest thing I've ever done that's probably appropriate for the podcast. Probably
there's nothing inappropriate for the show.
I think looking back, the craziest thing I've ever done was decide to move to my grandma's house after college instead of getting a traditional job and starting my first company. Knowing what I know now and how hard it actually was and is, I'm happy I did it, obviously. Yeah. But looking back, I'm not sure if I'd give myself that same advice, knowing what I know now. So I gotta say that, you know, starting a company right out of school and believing that that was gonna, you know, work out as it did, that's probably the craziest thing I've ever done.
Okay, I like that. I actually smoked a joint with my grandmother once, and she got smoke, but you know, she smoked cigarettes. And I was like, Grandma, try this. That's a very fond memory I have when I was like 19 years old with my grandmother smoking a joint together in Cedarhurst, Long Island.
That's awesome.
Good memory. I just remembered. Okay, last question, Doug. So Leafling just gave you a 3-day paid break to rest and recuperate. What would you do? Where would you go?
Oh, man. That sounds amazing, number one. I'm not sure given the pace at which all the things we just talked about is going to allow for that. But I think that me, my girlfriend, and my dog would either fly to somewhere like Scottsdale, Arizona, or the Bahamas, maybe somewhere that we could just completely check out with nature, where there was also some golf. I would definitely be waking up early and getting 18 holes in as much as I can.
There you go. I love it. Well, Doug, it's always a pleasure. It's great to have you on the show, and you know, excited to keep watching you guys crush it. And you know, the next time I see you and we have a cocktail, I'm sure there's going to be two other states that come on board for legalization as well.
Totally. Totally.
Thanks again for coming on, and greatly appreciate you.
Thanks for having me, Jeff. Greatly appreciate you as well. And hopefully that cocktail's not too much in the distant future.
Absolutely. Thanks, Doug.
I'll see you, buddy.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.